Holy Gospel for this, the first Sunday in Advent, comes from Luke's Gospel. We read from the first chapter. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the division of priests named after Abijah. Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, was a descendant of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth had God's approval. They followed all the Lord's commands and regulations perfectly. Yet they never had any children because Elizabeth couldn't become pregnant. Both of them were too old to have children. Zechariah was on duty with his division of priests. As he served in God's presence, he was chosen by priestly custom to go into the Lord's temple to burn incense. All the people were praying outside while he was burning incense. Then to the right of the altar, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Zechariah was troubled and overcome with fear. The angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will have a son, and you will name him John. He will be your pride and joy, and many people will be glad that he was born. As far as the Lord is concerned, he will be a great man. He will never drink wine or any other liquor. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring many people in Israel back to the Lord their God. He will go ahead of the Lord with the spirit and power that Elijah had. He will change parents' attitudes toward their children. He will change disobedient people so that they will accept the wisdom of those who have God's approval. In this way, he will prepare the people for their Lord." Reading from the Gospel of our Lord, you may be seated. Now, we've just heard how Gabriel had gone to Zechariah to tell him that he and Elizabeth would have a child. The very next assignment for the angel recorded in Luke's Gospel is to go with such news to another individual. I wonder what ran through Gabriel's mind at this new command.
"Master, you are in charge, and I, your servant, shall do your bidding. But these people are very predictable. We know the drill by now. Zechariah did exactly as Sarah had done. Remember, we brought her word that in her old age, though everyone thought she was barren, she would have a child through her own husband, Abraham. And she scoffed at the message of your angel, Lord." That seems to be the reaction barren births always bring. People are shocked, surprised at the word. But then, after the event happens, challenges give way to celebration. These people seem to deal better with surprise than prophecy. So perhaps that's a better route, Lord. You're smiling. What do you mean that this one would really be a big surprise? Aren't they all? I mean, I know your record of opening closed wombs before Elizabeth, after Sarah, there was Hannah, and there was Rachel. But they're always surprises. When I go with word of that, the first reaction is they are flabbergasted. Then exhilarated. But they always start out flabbergasted whenever I let a woman know that though she has been barren so long, she will now have a baby. A maiden. You're sending me to a young woman. She's not barren. How big of a surprise could this be, Lord? Young married women have babies all the time. Not married. A virgin. You are sending me to a virgin. How is a virgin going to have a baby? Why is a virgin going to have a baby? Your spirit will rest upon her. Your power overshadow her, so the one born of her will be called holy. Holy. Let me see if I got this right, God. He is going down there as one of them? I am your servant, Lord. Thy will be done. Now, obviously, I do not know if that's the conversation that happened between Gabriel and God. I am not privy to the parlances of eternity, and the scripture records nothing of that conversation. But, you know, there is a part of me that wonders what the angels thought when they learned of this. I mean, barren births, miraculous as they were not a rarity in the scripture's story. They happen. They take place in both testaments. But there is only one virgin birth and only one person. Just one. Since that originally created couple that entered this world holy and righteous and pure upon arrival. Arrival. That's what the word Advent means. Advent is all about God's arrival. And thus, in reality, Advent begins in Mary's womb. Ages of promise after promise, given to generation upon generation, find their fulfillment in a 9-month gestation within Mary. And the greatest pregnant pause in human history takes place from the time Gabriel gave that news to Mary to the time Mary delivered that babe to humanity. And God himself enters the world he created as its servant. I don't know. Maybe there was some scuttlebutt going on with the angels in heaven. I don't know what time they show up to work, and I don't know what their office structure is like, but maybe there was some chatter around the cooler waters of the river of life. Did you hear what he's conceived of this time? Can you believe such a thing? He always sends us down there to say, fear not. I'm afraid to tell him. I fear what they might do to him down there. Yet it's his doing that Advent is really all about. His doing. As the God of eternity, in the second person of the Trinity, becomes part of humanity to deliver us from the calamity of guilt and the finality of the grave. Advent is all about his doing. You see, in Jesus Christ, God and man are one person, equal to the Father, and yet similar to his brothers and his sisters in every way, except he is without sin or a human father. All this he takes on himself, born in the most unusual of manners, so that he might serve in the most unusual of manners. To this world of fears he came, servant, healer, mender. By his death we heaven claim, there to reign in splendor. Advent is all about the character of service. To serve is why he came. In fact, he said so himself. I have come not to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for you. Like his boss, the angel Gabriel goes to serve. He goes to serve as angelic messenger to the young woman pledged to be married to Joseph. He goes to serve as divine assurer that what is going on in her is God's work and God's doing. And she, Mary, like her babe, humbly, willingly, faithfully serves. As she offers herself for heaven's purpose, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. You know, on the one hand, I think Mary learned all about willing, humble, faithful service from her God's action. As He, who created everything out of nothing in 6 short days, is Himself created and knit together in her body for roughly 270 of them. On the other hand, her babe, the one she gave birth to, the young man she helped to raise up, I think he learned all about humble, willing, faithful service by remembering the words of his mother. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Words spoken before his birth by his mother, words spoken by him before his death. I am your servant. Thy will be done. Advent is begun in the womb of Mary. But let me tell you something. Advent doesn't end in 4 weeks. Advent begun in the womb of Mary is continually carried in the body of Christ, the church, as we, until our Lord comes again, follow the pattern laid down by Him, His mother, and the divine messenger, Gabriel. And through our conversations and our actions, we make clear that one word is heard. Lord, I am your servant. May it be to me and through me, as you have said, thy will be done. Amen.
The character of Advent is service. Our Advent is here. Our time has come. We've arrived, and it's time to say, Lord, I am your servant. Use me for that which seems most unlikely. Whatever it is, use me to accomplish what you conceive as good and needed and right. Will you pray that with me? Repeat after me. Lord, I am your servant. Use me, even for that which seems most unlikely. Whatever it is, use me and accomplish what you conceive as good and needed and right. For the sake of He whose Advent I celebrate, and whose service I would imitate, Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen.